Thanks, guys. Hey, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And hey, if you don't have a Bible, if you don't have like a physical hard copy of the Bible, we have one for you. We have a nice journaling Bible for you, actually. And we want you to have it. God is forming us to be a people who are hungry for His Word. Now, within that, we believe that His Word is the authority, and it is true, and God is trustworthy in all of that. But God is calling us to respond to be a people who hunger and thirst after His Word. And so it is our great delight to be able to give that. So if you do need a Bible this morning, just give a little wave of your hand, and we'll bring one to you. And we are happy to do that. This summer, the last week, we started a new series called Jesus is Everything. If you forget it, it's right here, okay? Jesus is Everything. What we're doing is we're just exploring just a little bit of all that Jesus is and what He's done. And for these first few weeks, we're just exploring how does Jesus receive and welcome sinners like me? So as we do that, that's gonna lead us into talking about how we can be with Jesus. Just what does that look like on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis? What are some of the things that go into that? So we're gonna look at that as the summer goes on. But I'm really excited about this. This is Jesus is at the center of everything we do. And the reason for that is, the only way for us to know God is to go directly through Jesus. His Word is clear. So we want to know Him. We want to have our lives turned upside down by Him. And I keep saying that, and maybe you don't want that, but I'm going to keep saying it, and we're going to keep praying it over you. So tough. we are really excited about Jesus here. And we want to look really intensely at what He does and who He is, how He moves, and what He sounds like, to the extent that as you go and you live your lives and your families and with at work and everywhere you go, you will begin to sound like Jesus. You'll have the smell of Jesus on you. As you go forth into this world. So we're going to start at John chapter 6, verse 35. We're going to read through verse 40. And this is a piece of a much larger section, so I just want to give you a little context before we dive in. This is one of those points in the story of Jesus that gets picked up in all four of our Gospels. Jesus has just been with His disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and where he miraculously fed 5,000, well, more than 5,000 people. It was just 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children. And He fed them from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he gave thanks for that meal, and He kept breaking it apart until everyone was satisfied. And then after that, Jesus went and withdrew up onto a mountain and was there by Himself while He sent the disciples back across the Sea of Galilee to go home. And the disciples spent all night struggling against a storm. And they couldn't make any headway. And in the middle of the night, Jesus came walking out to them on the water. And as soon as Jesus entered the boat, the storm stopped. In fact, the way John tells it, they were miraculously immediately at the other side. They had struggled all night on their own. And as soon as Jesus came, they realized the struggle was over. But this moment, the moment that we're picking up here in John 6 is actually a little piece of the story we don't get in the rest of the Gospels. It's when the crowds realized that Jesus was gone, and they made their way back to Jesus' hometown of Capernaum, and they were looking around for Him, and they found Him. And they said, Jesus, when did you get here? They couldn't find him. They were wondering where he was. They knew the disciples had gotten into the boat by themselves. So let's look at God's word, starting in verse 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to you, God, for a promise that changes everything. God, this is one of those moments where I come to and I just have this overwhelming sense that I just don't want to cover up your promise. I just don't want to distract from your promise because it changes everything and you're changing my life through it. Lord, I ask that you would continue to do that in this congregation, anyone who's here, anyone who's listening online. Lord God, it is your strong promise, Jesus, that both knocks us out of the center of our own affections and doesn't let us live with the delusion that we are the center of the universe, and yet we hear the promise, I will never, ever, ever cast you out. I won't throw you away. I won't discard you. I won't despise you. Oh, God. Open our eyes and our ears to your promise this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. You could never be more loved than you are right now. You could never be more loved than you are right now. That keeps going through my head. I wrote a note to myself as I was doing my work for the sermon this week. And it just says, don't take one of the richest and most satisfying promises you could ever find and make it dry and unappetizing. So as we dive into this, I'm doing it with a lot of trembling. You know, this is one of those promises that you could pick up and you could look at and you could turn over and look at it and we could talk about it for a year. In fact, the Puritan Baptist preacher John Bunyan, you may know his name because he wrote the book The Pilgrim's Progress. You guys familiar with that? He wrote a book, it was over 200 pages long, all on this one verse. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Over 200 pages, and he could not get enough of it. I hope that's how we'll feel when we leave here today. God is calling us to come to Jesus, and believe the one who will never, ever cast you out. I know you may have heard that before, but I'm inviting you today, God is calling you today to let your life be changed and be defined by it. When those people came back and they found Jesus, if you look up at verse 28, they say, Jesus, when did you get here? No, I'm sorry. And that's the first thing they said to him. And then in verse 28, they say, Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus' answer in verse 29 is one that you really need to remember. You need to remember this. It's going to be up here on the screen. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. That's the work. What do you need to be doing God's will? You need to believe. You need to believe in Jesus. It's faith with nothing else added to it. That doesn't mean that it certainly filters through everything you do, okay? Faith is the fact that we are saved, that God saves us by faith. That doesn't mean that we don't have effort into it. It means we don't earn it. But that's how we do the works of God. We believe in Jesus with nothing else in our hands. So they answer that they have this funny answer in verse 30. All right, cool. Then Jesus, what sign, if we're just supposed to believe in you, what sign do you do that we could see and might believe you? That's a little rich, isn't it? This is the same group that just got fed by Jesus across the sea. They say, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. What are you going to do, Jesus? And this is where Jesus begins to peel away their unbelief. And maybe peels away a little of ours too. Because they're asking Jesus to give them a sign. They suppose, when they look back at Israel in the wilderness after the Exodus, when God for 40 years fed them with manna from heaven, they suppose that it was Moses that gave them that bread. And Jesus says, nuh-uh. In verse 32, he says, it's the Father. It was the Father who gave them that. And now the Father gives you true bread from heaven. See, they're looking for Jesus to give them something, to show them something. But they're failing to see that Jesus is the gift, that Jesus is the sign that they need. I mean, throughout if your Bible is like mine and you have a whole section from verse 22 to verse 59, that's all kind of one enclosed story here. But throughout this section, Jesus talks a lot about giving. The Father gives true bread from heaven to sinners. Jesus says that the Father gives sinners to him. The Son of Man gives food that endures to eternal life. The bread of God gives life to the world, and the bread that Jesus gives is his own flesh. That's where he ends up, and that's where people start going, yep, I'm out. See, they see the sign from God. They just don't believe. Jesus is the gift. My friends, Jesus is the sign. Jesus is the bread. He's the manna from heaven. Come down to be received by all that the Father gives to Jesus. That last part is important because Jesus emphasizes it today in this promise. All who the Father gives to Jesus. We don't think of ourselves like that. Here's the interesting thing that Jesus keeps emphasizing with all this giving language. Manna is a case in point. It can't be manufactured, it can't be grown, it can't be earned, it can't be cultivated, it can't be given by any human means. It must be what? It must be received. And Jesus can only be received. A gift cannot be paid for it to be a gift. It can only be received. So we're going to really, really hone in on verse 37. I think John Bunyan would slap me if we didn't. The promise of verse 37. It assures that if we come to Jesus, we come because we are welcomed by the Father. And we are given by the Father to the Son. So we never have to wonder if the Father accepts us. So I think a lot of us, we go through our lives wondering that. We wonder if in coming to Jesus, if God is going to accept us. And even if we know the truth, we feel like he might not. We feel like God is disappointed with us, that we're not some great prize. And we feel like that for a reason. We see what's going on. And if we don't, our wives do, our husbands do, our kids do, our coworkers do. Here's the thing, that what Jesus' promise here, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. There's two things about this. That first of all, this knocks us out of the center, right? It knocks us out from this delusion that we have that we are at the center of all things and that everything is about us. And even when we know that's not true, we find a way of making it about us. We're really good at it. I know I am. What we need most, though, can only be received. And we're not necessarily okay with that, because that means for sure that it's not about us. And yet, this is going to sound like it's completely the opposite, okay? If listen to the words, all that the Father gives me, all that the Father gives me. Did you know, have you ever thought of yourself this way, that you are a gift? If you are in Christ today, you are a gift from the Father to the Son. You are a gift. It's not all about you, but you are a gift. You're not the center of attention, but we are gifts of a delighted Father to a delighted Son, from God to God. It's one of the most amazing things about God. This is how God is in himself. This is how God sees you. This is how God feels about you. Did you know that? Have you grasped that? What else? What else is here? He says, all the Father gives me will come to me. Look, we don't have to wonder if in coming to Jesus our strength will fail. It's gonna. Okay? It's gonna. You're not strong enough. That's the point. But Jesus says that those the Father gives him will come without exception, invariably, always. Why? It's because the Father gives them to the Son that there can be no doubt. Again, it's like we're sitting over here, we're spectators, and God's doing all the action. John Bunyan, in that book that I talked about, he says it this way. He says the way that God does this, that the Father does this, is he makes Jesus so desirable to you that everything else becomes undesirable by contrast. That's how you come without exception. That's what it looks like to receive a new heart. And above all else, that's what leads you to effectually and inevitably come to Jesus. What do we mean by coming to Jesus? What does that mean? Jesus is using that interchangeably with belief and faith. The only reason someone would come to him is if they see in Jesus the only hope and satisfaction for their souls. Jesus says, what does he start that in verse 35? He starts us out saying, I am the bread of life. He's the nourishment that sustains and provides for life. Bread in at all times up until recent modern history, bread isn't an appetizer. It's not an add-on. It's not, do you want more? You want another basket of bread? Bread is the staple food. Without bread, you starve. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you won't come to me, you'll starve. But the one who comes, comes to receive. To receive me. To receive life. To receive real bread. Faith is one of those funny words that we use. That we kind of fill in with a whole lot of things from around us and just our own ideas. But faith, belief, that whole idea in the gospel sense, it's not wishful thinking. It's not a positive attitude. And it's not a quality of your character. Faith is a posture. Faith is receiving. It's a sure and certain hope that Jesus is everything that you cannot be for yourself. That's what faith is. It's that everything that God says is true. And I hope that you're hearing Jesus this morning and receiving that. Because Jesus welcomes sinners and sees them. He sees you as the Father's gift to him. The Father's gift from before time began to him. But also that works out in time when we are actually given to the Lord and we come to faith. If we are gifts of the Father to the Son, how do you think Jesus treats the Father's gifts? All the Father gives to me will come. And whoever comes, I will never cast out. Never. Jesus, listen, look here. Jesus has the power both to save and to cast out. He has that power. It's in his hands. But he could not make his willingness and his welcome any clearer than this. When he says never, he quite literally says, I will never not. This is like the strongest negation you can get in the language of the Bible. I will never, not ever, under any possibility, cast you out. You are given to me by the Father, and I don't lose what the Father gives me. We have a habit of conceiving God as one who, yeah, God is love, but and that warms our hearts from time to time. But when we fall, when we realize, when we really come to grips with our sin and with what's really going on in our hearts, we often think God must be so disappointed in me. And we come up with all these objections to God. God, I'm too broken. Jesus says, I'll never cast you out. Jesus, you don't know what kind of sinner I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of shame that I'm bearing right now. No one could cleanse me of this defilement. I'm too addicted. I'm too far gone. I've hated you. I've worked against your kingdom. Jesus says, I will never cast you out. I've failed too many times, Jesus. I've provoked you over and over again. I'm still struggling with this sin. I've thrown your grace off. I've cheapened your grace. I've cheapened your name. My faith is too weak, Lord Jesus. I have nothing to offer you. Jesus just looks at us. I'll never, ever cast you out. I'm never, not even a little. Not a single one that the Father gives me will I cast out. I won't despise even one. I will not throw them away. I will not turn one in for a better model. I will not consider them trash. I will not reject them. I will not despise them. I will not deny them a place in my Father's house. Not now, not in eternity, not ever. I will never cast you out. That is what Jesus says to you today. Amen? Never, not even a little, not for a second, not even one. Again, I know that I don't usually put these many quotes in, but Bunyan kind of looked at all of this, and he says it so well. He says that with this promise, and with this word that Jesus says, not ever will I cast you out. With this never, Jesus cuts the throat on every objection. Jesus cuts through all our fears, all our self-justifying prevarications, all our blame shifting. With this promise, he lays aside every doubt that we may have for coming to him, whether we have a relationship with him, whether we've been following him, or whether we're not. He gives you every reason to believe and every reason to come. Jesus resolves that nothing shall alienate his heart from the coming sinner. I will for nothing, John Bunyan says, by no means, upon no account, however they have sinned, however they have backslidden, however they have provoked, cast out the coming sinner. Ever. Look, the call, Jesus' call here is clear, isn't it? Isn't it? Just come. Just come to him. That's the clear call. You don't have to guess at the mind of God. That's the craziest thing about this promise, because we sit there and say, okay, well, the Father gives all who are his to his Son. How do I know if I am? If you come. Because the only way you're going to come, Jesus says if you look at verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. If you're coming, it's because God gave you. Jesus never throws away something from his Father. Ever. He is the gift. Look, Jesus is the gift that satisfies you for eternity. He is the bread of heaven come down from the Father to sinners. And sinners are the gift of the Father to the Son. If that doesn't knock your socks off today, I don't know what will. Jesus never loses or throws out anything the Father ever gives him. All of our hope, all of our assurance, our confidence, it's built on this truth. He will invariably, unfailingly, undoubtedly raise all that God gives them. Him, he will raise them up on the last day. That last part points to, yeah, praise God. That last part points to how Jesus carries out this promise. The gift we get is Jesus. The way we get it is resurrection from the dead. Death gets nothing in the end. Body, soul, there's nothing that death gets to keep because of Jesus, because he doesn't throw anything the Father gives him away. Amen? Two things as we close here. For all these reasons, we must not toy with Jesus. We must not toy with the one who gave this promise. This is not just a Sunday morning thing. This is not just a piece of the religious piece of your life that you keep hidden off in the corner. This is the defining thing in your life. We must not toy with him. The one who has the power both to give himself and to eternally satisfy us. And the one who has the power to cast away if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. He draws so close to us I don't know about you, it terrifies me. When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow him, you've got nothing to fear. He always has you. He always keeps you. And the other thing we must keep in mind is we must never come hoping for something other than Jesus. We come to church for a lot of reasons, don't we? Community. I mean, a lot of good reasons. Community, like the people are great. I like to sing. I like music. I like all these things. But if you're coming here for something other than Jesus, we don't have it. We don't have it. I know most of y'all, and you're all wonderful. You're all wonderful, but that's not reason enough. What we offer here is Jesus. And with Jesus, everything. Everything. And we, as one people, can say to everyone here and everywhere, you could never be more loved than you are right now, because it is God who loves you. Amen? Never loved more than we are right now, because you love perfectly and you never change. And then we see, as we look at the details of how you love Lord Jesus, of how it is completely an act of you, God. And then to hear how you feel about us, what you think about us. When we read in your scriptures, like in the Song of Songs, we hear you say, you have captivated my heart. My bride, you have captivated my heart, church. We recognize, we look around, we say, us? God, who is like you? Who is like you? Feed us. Feed us with Jesus. Nourish us for eternal life. We trust you. We trust your promises. Not a good feeling, not a positive attitude. No, we have faith in you that you are able and willing to do all that you've said and more. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.